Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Welcome to the Midsters Podcast, your podcast for inspiration on being bold and saying yes and making the most out of your midlife. It's good to have you here.
Hello.
Both of us here. We have an interesting topic today, though I think most of our topics are somewhat interesting. We try to make them interesting anyway. This one is having it all. I actually think you came up with it, or maybe I did, but out of a discussion, what does having it all mean? I don't hear people say it anymore, but when I was younger, I heard it more, like going into my 20s. What does having it all mean to you, Leslie Ann? When did you first hear of that or think about it in any way?
I think that's more of a generational thing, like women of our generation who were really, maybe a little bit before us, but we were really solidly in the space where women could have both a career and a family, and therefore were expected to, so should have both a career and a family, and thus have it all. The expression sort of suggests a real benefit, like, oh, you can have it all. But I actually always experienced having it all as kind of doing it all. So just a tremendous amount of work that we were expected to put in, or maybe not expected is too strong a word, but the sort of feeling was, if you weren't putting that work in and doing it all and thus having it all, that you were somehow falling short.
Interesting. Yeah, I think a lot of people have that take. I've definitely heard that among my peers, especially at a young age. Having it all, to me, when I would hear people say that, it was about having a career and being able to be a parent, a wife and a parent. It almost seemed like it was an achievement. I also, there's some negative connotation to me because I just look at it a little bit differently, especially now, but back then as well. It seemed like a checklist that we had to be perfect, that it is an achievement to be able to do both or to have both. But I think in order to do that, something I would always get lost behind. And I thought that back then. I didn't want to climb the ladder. As you know, I wanted, and I talk about this, so I just put it out there. I probably should have been a 50s mom, but I wanted to find my perfect partner. I wanted to have babies. I wanted to bake cookies. That's having it all to me. It always was.
And I think that's a perfectly valid thing, right?
To
sort of focus on one or the other. And it goes, you know, there's a big debate on social media right now, because you see all these things about, like, on the one hand, the sort of trad wife movement, which is sort of pushing this, like, oh, why do you have to work? And people shouldn't be forced to work. And women have been sold this false story that they're supposed to be professionals. And on the other hand, you have all the professional women saying, oh, you know, the trad wife thing is so wrong. Like, these women are imprisoned in their homes. I mean, that's a choice.
I didn't know this was a culture thing at the moment.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I spend too much time on TikTok. You know, it really truly is a choice.
I think
at the moment where this idea of having it all sort of became an expression or a thought, it's because prior to that, women really couldn't make that choice, right? You didn't really have an option. If you didn't want to be married, I mean, there were some career options, but they were very limited. And not really as fulfilling. Mm-hmm. But really, women were mainstreamed into being mothers and homemakers. And so, and then it sort of switched, because women could be professional and they could become lawyers like I was, or doctors,
right,
or nurses or whatever. And then it became, well, like, how do you balance that with still maintaining traditional womanhood, which is being a parent and having a home and a family? And so that sort of having it all, you could really do it all.
It's a great topic.
Yeah.
I think, and a lot to explore. So I went to the University of Texas, and I went into nursing, did open heart surgery, and then public health. So I had a career. Having it all just meant more to me than having those two things. I will say, I think there's a spinoff of having it all and kind of the debate or the cultural thing you're talking about. Because when I ended up in being a parent with my kids being in elementary school and being, you know, room parent, this and that, I worked part-time. So that was a wonderful opportunity and very thankful to be able to do that. People talked about she might not be able to do that because she's a working mom. Or, you know, she's a stay-home mom, a little bit different, maybe nothing to do with having it all. But again, having it all is having those two things and being able to do it.
And sometimes more than those two things.
Yeah,
like, you know, you're supposed to be not just a parent, but a active parent, an involved parent, and not just a professional, but a upward moving professional. And you're supposed to have interesting hobbies and be an interesting person and a well-rounded person.
And look good and fitness.
And fitness is a big thing. I mean, I know I've talked about this before. I don't much love fitness, but I mean, I love being fit, but I don't love the act of becoming fit. When I hit my 50s and started going through menopause, my doctor's thing was you need to do an hour of intense aerobic exercise every day.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, what planet do you live on? Like, how does that even happen? I think from a male perspective, that happens because you work right. And then you go home and work out for an hour. I would go to work and then come home and cook and then oversee the kids' homework and take them to their sporting events and then put everybody to bed and then work some more. Like, there's just not an hour in a day to spend on exercise. And yet the expectation. So for me, that having it all thing is both a sort of rallying cry, but also an expectation that you should be able to do it all. And there's something wrong with you if you can't. And in that respect, I felt it really was unfortunate and put unfortunate pressure, and that took me away from focusing on really maybe what I would have focused on.
So did you feel pressure in that?
I did. I mean, I actually feel I was very lucky in my career in that there was a point when my kids were really small where I wanted to work part-time in the office that I was working in at that point. And they said no.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, there was no part-time option. They really didn't want to advance the notion of, like, splitting motherhood and work.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you were either all in or you were out, which was really disappointing. And I left. And as you know, I ended up working for your husband.
He did.
For whom the fact that I could only work part-time was not an issue. We did some really great work together. A lot of fun. Loved working with Robert. And then eventually, fast forward several years, mm-hmm. my old job kind of came to their senses and said, wait a minute, actually, we can have part-time people here. And that was working for the government, which the public service aspect of it meant a lot to me. So I went back to that job. So I was lucky because I was still able to do meaningful work.
Right.
But on a part-time basis. But even then, like, I found myself, like, at work feeling like I need to take on this next big project because I have to show that I can do that, that I can do a big project, even though I'm working part-time. So it was just constantly proving myself in this role. And then as a parent, you know, it wasn't enough that I was, like, the Girl Scout troop leader and the baseball scorekeeper and the basketball assistant manager and the church mission troop chaperone, and you know, I had to keep adding things on to prove that I was, like, not letting the side down on the family side, right. So for me, all of that meant
there was pressure,
a lot of pressure,
yeah,
and a life that was a little imbalanced, mm-hmm. out of balance.
So I felt no pressure. I just didn't. I don't know. I loved my career. Nursing was where I should have been, though I do photojournalism today, but I'm a giver. I'm a nurturer. It filled my cup. But my pressure, if there was any, is on the parent side. It was never the career side. I did a great job, always got promoted. I was, you know, lucky enough to be able to work part-time. Unlike you. Well, you did both. Actually, you worked part-time as well. I just worked part-time. So I was able to dedicate a lot of time. But the pressure came for me is making sure that I did everything I needed to do to have eventually healthy young adult.
Well, you had
children.
An extraordinary situation.
I did.
You had a health issue with your son. So
yeah. So yeah, it's different for everybody. So having it all, I mean, if I were to ask myself that question today, what that means, to me, it's almost like the invisible things. It would be having it all with me. Okay, now that I said that, peace of mind, connection. Those would be having it all to me. Having patience, having understanding. Having it all would be living a life of peace of mind, knowing that I'm able to do the things that I want to do and do them well, not just for myself, but for others. It's those that's having it all to me.
And to me, I love that. That's sort of the midlife remix for me, right? Is getting away from doing all the things I believe other people expect me to do.
Right.
Be an outstanding lawyer, be an outstanding parent.
Which you were.
Well, I don't know if I was outstanding, but I definitely put a lot of effort into that to meet an expectation that I felt was outside in the broader world, as opposed to spending my time and my energy and giving myself nurture and focusing on the balance of my own life. I don't know how much I would have done differently. I just would have looked at it differently. And I think sometimes when you're looking at it differently, that's enough.
Right.
So always looking outside and trying to satisfy other people instead of satisfying me. Definitely on the family side, I don't think it would have changed anything. I really did love being a parent.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wearing
it. I love it.
Yes, thank you. It says Mama. One of the reasons is because we're coming up, as we're filming this, we're coming up on Mother's Day, which I think is the most important day of the year. But no, parenting, I don't know that I would have changed anything. I loved everything I did with my kids. And I did it because I love being with them and because I was very aware of the short span of time that we get to be with our kids and really shape and mold them.
Right.
You know, work, I definitely made some concessions. I gave up some goals that I had and just reformulated new ones. But I just wonder sometimes if I think I could have done work a little differently and not felt like I had to keep moving ahead.
Right.
I just kind of eased into just doing a job, doing it well, not thinking that I needed to keep moving up.
Do you think that people in their 20s, the young adults today, and I think of it as a female thing more than a male thing because of kind of how it started, having a family and working. And you have a daughter actually in her 20s. Do you think having it all, or they may not even use that term anymore, but if they were to think that way, do you think that they believe they have to have both of those things to be able to feel fulfilled or like achieving things or anything along those lines?
I think this generation coming up, and so, you know, roughly, I don't even know whether those are the millennials or the Gen X.
Right.
Lost track of all that a long time ago. The young 20s,
right?
The 20s to 30s group coming up. I think they have a very different perspective on things, but I actually think it's because of the pandemic. And the thing that I hear from that group pretty often is like, why would your whole life be centered around work? You know, I have a friend who, when her daughter started working, and her daughter's in that age demographic, she said to her, you know, try to find a job where you can go into the office. Because this was just coming out of COVID when a lot of people were not working
right.
in office. She's like, you know, you really want to try to get a job where you can work in an office so you can meet people and make friends. And her daughter said something that was just so astonishing to me. She said, why would I want my friends to be the people I work with?
Mm-hmm.
And her mother was like, well, because that's how you make friends. I mean, that's how most of us. She said, no, Mom, that's how you made friends. I prefer to make my friends through the activities and the things that I like to do. Because when I'm not at work, I want to be spending my time doing things I like to do. Which I thought was like, that's such an obvious thing. And yet so brilliant. I didn't think that way.
They were coworkers.
Yeah. Coworkers are just coworkers. Mm-hmm. They don't have to be your constant companions.
Right.
Having said that, I have many friends that were coworkers first that I adore and I would never trade. But it's just a different mindset.
It is.
And it's about flipping the script a little bit and putting the life part ahead of the work part.
Mm-hmm.
As far as families go, I mean, I think a lot of young people are really questioning whether they want to have kids. And that's obviously that's in the news too, right?
It is.
All these things to try to make people have children. These initiatives and ideas.
All over the world, not just the U.S.
Yeah. But for that to work, it has to be satisfying. And I think right now, too many people perceive it to be an insurmountable labor.
It is a lot of work, mm-hmm. but it's also very rewarding.
Mm-hmm. It is, but you have to want to do it.
You do. And we all want different things in life.
That's exactly right.
And so I think having it all is very personal and it just depends on that individual.
I think folks really need to look into themselves mm-hmm. and understand themselves really well. I've always said this, and I know I've said this on this podcast before. I think the single most important thing a person can have is a good sense of self-awareness.
Right.
If you know yourself and you understand yourself and you make decisions based on that understanding, you may end up in a million different places, but it'll be the right place for you, whichever of those million paths you choose. I think for the generation before our generation, going way back, women didn't have choice, as we said
right.
before. But to our generation, we were still making choices based on external factors. Our value systems were being set for us by others.
You know, if only we could go back to our 20s and have a better understanding of life, the lifespan in general. It just, what an advantage. What a society we would be. Because I think we do relish in the fact now, in silence, in taking things slow, not checklists, coming into our own, like our own being. But we're in a rush when we're young. And we shouldn't be. If we're ever to be a rush, it should be at the end of life trying to get things done that we haven't done. It seems so backwards to me.
Yeah. Although I still want to see all 50 states before I die.
So you will.
I'm rushing to get that done. I totally hear you. I think there's so much you want to do when you're young and you think it has to all be done right away. In reality, it really doesn't.
And the perfection piece of it, like you really achieve. And I'm all about perfection as well, as best as you can do. So maybe not perfection, but putting as much effort as it takes to do the best job of whatever that might be. But that comes more to me, like if you're passionate about something, it's going to end up that way. But if you're pigeonholed and trying to do something that really is not that you're not aligned with, then that's not going to work.
The whole perfectionist thing to me, the second most important thing I think a person can have, besides a good sense of self-awareness, mm-hmm. is a good sense of humanity, of being human. Yeah. And humans are not perfect. And I think we drive ourselves in everything we do. And that goes back to this having it all thing.
Right.
Being a perfect parent while being a perfect employee, while being a perfect human. Like, why? Humans are not perfect. We're not meant to be perfect.
And I actually like the imperfect. Like I talk about it. Like I like seeing flaws. I like, and I hate to say in a face or anything like that, but I like that interesting character, the asymmetrical, all of that. As you know, I was just in Japan. I had the greatest time in Japan. And one of the concepts I had heard before, but then really like thought about more as I was in Japan, was wabi-sabi. Do you know what wabi-sabi means?
Tell me.
So it's a philosophy, basically a Japanese philosophy about embracing, enjoying, and actually wanting the imperfect and seeing the beauty in imperfection. It's like you'll see these vases. They'll break a vase, and instead of throwing it away, they'll take gold and they'll put it back together and make its own beauty. So it's just not about perfection. It's about embracing life as it comes, the messy middle of it all, and what you take from that. So wabi-sabi would be, you know, life isn't perfect. It's not ever going to be. But in that imperfect, how can you find beauty in that? Mm-hmm. How can that make you more of a beauty of your heart, the way you interact with people, the resiliency that you might have coming from that? But they embrace wabi-sabi. And I think it's just a beautiful concept.
Yeah, I mean, I think we would learn more about ourselves sometimes in our failures than we do in our successes. And so if you're only focused on the success and you're sort of brushing past the failure, you're missing a great opportunity to learn and really lean into your life. Mm-hmm. This is the only life we have.
Perfection, in my mind, many cases, comes from imperfection. Because once you see that and you realize that, you might tweak it, you might learn from it. But I think there's a lot of perfection in the imperfection. I really do.
I think there's actually a lot of too much focus on getting things right and getting things perfect. And again, that's one of those outside societal things. Mm-hmm. So as we're talking, I'm thinking about a case I worked on years ago on, it was on appeal. It was a criminal case and it was on appeal for insufficient evidence. So the person who had been convicted was claiming that not enough evidence had been presented at trial to support a conviction beyond a reasonable doubt. The jury had found him guilty, but right. he was challenging it on appeal. And when it came through, I looked at the facts and I wrote my brief. And honestly, there wasn't very much evidence. It was a very, very weak case. And so preparing for the oral argument in that case, the supervisor that I had at the time said, you know, this is really a really weak case. We might lose this. And I said, yeah, I think we are going to lose this. She said, well, we've got to come up with something else. There must be more facts in the record that you can, you know, pull into this to make the case stronger. I'm like, no, that is the record. I mean, the record is the record.
Mm-hmm.
I've pulled everything out of it that there is. It's a very weak case. I think maybe we got this one wrong. She said, well, we can't lose this on appeal. And I remember looking at her and saying, you know, sometimes we will lose. Like, we don't have to win every single time. Sometimes weird things happen. And a system that's really robust and strong and yep. good will absorb those losses and learn from those mistakes.
Yeah.
This is probably a case we shouldn't have brought. And that was such, she actually said to me, you have a terrible attitude.
Oh my goodness.
So I was like, oh no, actually I think I have a really good attitude.
And that is where growth comes from.
That's
it is the challenges. It is the failures.
And
I mean, that
affects,
is how we grow.
Right. And it affects not just individually. Systems can learn. Societies, cultures can learn from the places where they break.
Can you imagine like a society of everybody being perfect and everything?
Yeah, it would be awful.
It'd be boring.
And stressful.
It would be stressful as well. You know, I had mentioned I like the I do like flaws, and I know that sounds strange. So I want to go back to that. It's maybe the word's not flaws, but I like the uniqueness of people that don't fit in that typical mold or beat to the same drum. I see beauty in that. I see beauty in people that some might consider outliers or beating to a different drum. I love faces. I love faces that show character, that show age. I love that because there's so much beauty in not the ordinary.
And that's a great way of transitioning a little bit to talking about how this fits in midlife. Because I think this is a good time for each of us to lean into, we don't have to look a certain way,
right?
You don't have to look like you're 25 when you're 65. You just don't, right? Or 55 or 45.
Right.
You look your age, mm-hmm. embrace that, and see where that leads you, right? I stopped dyeing my hair when my daughter graduated from high school because I knew I was not going to be around much younger moms anymore. And I could sort of give myself the freedom of not feeling, I wholly admit I was like, it was a competition thing. But once I didn't have to fit in that arena, I felt more okay about just being myself. And also, like, this is a great time to take on, if there are hobbies or interests that you didn't do before because you thought, oh, that just sounds really weird, go for it. Embrace it. Do what's interesting to you instead of, like, doing the things that the group around you is doing that make you, like, fit in with that group. Take the risk of being a little outside for a while.
That's a good point. I know in the last few years of my life and as I retired and so forth, one of the things that I was always scared to do, even though I was asked to do things, I always said no. And that was like leadership because I felt like I would need to be a perfect leader, like not make any mistakes. And a lot of these groups were women's groups. That's a lot. I have 40 or 50 women, but I stepped into it. Partly because you inspired me and actually let me know and supported me that I could do something like that. And I wasn't perfect in it. But again, talking about growing from it and learning from it and becoming, I became such a good listener from it. I think that we should step into areas that maybe having it all and being perfect in that isn't your expectation. It is just taking on the challenge, doing the best you can, and hope that you come out on the other side, having been a better person for yourself and for others.
Well, I will say, I think you did an outstanding job.
Well, thank you.
And if you think you were imperfect, you didn't have to be perfect because in all the ways that mattered, you did a great job.
Oh, thank you.
And that was, it was really fun watching you grow in that way because you did. You really did.
I did.
You became more assertive and more confident, and it was beautiful watching.
Thank you.
My parallel to that, and I think I said this earlier, I really don't like fitness. But a friend of mine talked me into going to play pickleball. And part of the reason I really didn't want to do it is I don't consider myself an athletic person. And I just, you know, I when the ball is coming across the court, I am just not going to go dive over there to get it.
Are you going to tell the audience you're hooked?
Absolutely hooked. Absolutely hooked. I've gone a couple of times and I'm like, this is so much fun. And it's great. A game I can play at my level. So, and that's part of the thing is like, challenge your assumptions about what you want to do and don't want to do and can do and can't do, coming at it a slightly different way. So for many, many years, all the women in our area, as you know, play tennis.
Right.
Tennis is not for me. Pickleball is for me.
It's a great game.
It's a great game. And it doesn't have any of the things I don't like about tennis. But, you know, being willing to go out there and try it and make a fool of myself. Because when I first stepped on a pickleball court, I mean, I played with a friend of ours a few times and she sort of taught me the basics. Then I went to a drop-in pickleball group and I was kind of like, I confess, the first week I was really shy. Like, I'm going to look stupid. I don't know what I'm doing.
Aw.
But then I kind of got over that because what the heck?
Right.
Like, I'm too old to care about that. I just want to go play and have fun. And I did.
And it is a lot of fun. I like the people, too. Like, some people complain about the people. If you're in a women's group with it, well, men and women, you do both, right? And I mainly play with women. It is a sense of belonging. It's a sense of adventure. It's a sense of community. And it is exercise. There's a lot of aerobic exercise to it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sore after it. I hate to say that because I work out in a gym and all that. But I am sore from it. And it's all that reaching and the squatting. Like, you're in a squat position forever.
Yeah. There's a lot of exercise
to it. There is.
But, like, the willingness to go outside of the comfort zone and just do something different that, you know, maybe you wouldn't thought you would look good doing it,
right,
or you were suitable to do, but give yourself that experience because why not?
And letting go of what you started kind of talking about, that having it all, letting go of the having it all connotation of doing it perfect, right? I think we do need to let that go.
Mm-hmm. And just finding a better balance for yourself. I mean, I think about that a lot. I've had a lot of opportunities come my way to do things since I've retired. That, like, some I've given a little try to, and then just, not really the right mix for me. Having it all really should be having what you want.
Mm-hmm.
What do you want? Not what do you think is out there that you have to have a little piece of everything.
Well, and I think everybody can find that place. I don't think it's socioeconomic. I don't think there's really any demographic to it other than middle age. If we just think about who we are, and like you were saying, the self-awareness. And just sit in the moment and, you know, finding what brings you joy. And if you don't know anymore because you've been wrapped up in life and raising kids, in a marriage and in a career, a good place to start is when you were young, what brought you joy.
Mm-hmm.
I think those are the things that still bring a lot of people joy. If I think back and we've talked, I am doing an adult summer camp. Damn it, I'm doing it. But that brought me so much joy. There's different things that we can think back, and those talents that maybe we were good at, you've started drawing.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the types of things as well, I think, that that we can have in adulthood. So having it all is not just career. I think that's what we're saying, is not career and raising a family. It's all these other things.
And at this point in life, it's really just about having what you want. So to me in midlife, the idea of having it all morphs a little from what it was when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a little more about accomplishing things that I want to accomplish before I die. And I don't mean big accomplishments, like I'm not going to climb Mount Everest. I don't need to. I would like to write a book, but if I don't write a book, it's not the end of the world. It's more about, like, I want to experience what I can of this life, things that I feel like I need to see and do and feel before I die. A lot of that is related to travel. A lot of that is related to connections. We've talked about this before, but digging more deeply into certain relationships and letting some of the more peripheral ones go.
Right.
That's really what I want. To me, that's what having it all means now,
right,
is focusing on the things that are really important to me.
I would agree. I feel the same way. Letting go of the chasing, like chasing things and trying to experience things and just being and doing those things that make you happy. I think this is a good place to stop.
I think it's a great place.
So for the audience, I challenge all of you to redefine, reshift, see what having it all means to you.
What did you have to let go of mentally, emotionally, or practically to stop chasing the illusion of balance and start living with more intention?
For me, it would be perfection, working so hard to make everything perfect. Once I realized I didn't have to be perfect, I could do my best, and that actually I came into my own thoughts of just enough, being enough, I think I was able to be enough, more than enough.
I think we all come into adulthood carrying the scars of our childhood. I just think that's inevitable. And that's not any comment on my parents. I think I had great parents, but I think it's inevitable that you don't come through that period unscathed. And for me, the thing that I really felt I lacked was a sense of acceptance. I felt a little bit like I didn't really have a home. I didn't really know where I belonged. And I was really searching for that for a very long time. And so I sought acceptance in a lot of different places simultaneously, which I really, I wish that I had understood that I didn't need to do that, that I could have just found acceptance right here in my own heart and then let that lead me. But I was always outward looking, if that makes sense. I always felt growing up, I used to always say, the store definitely dropped me in the wrong house.
Uh-huh.
Who are these people? I still feel that today. Like, who are these people?
But now where you belong is the four of you. Mm-hmm. Five of you now.
And I have close friends that
you do. I feel like I belong in my friend groups. I mean, there is that sense. It's wonderful.
In terms of doing it all, you know, what helped you redefine success on your own terms?
For me, it was becoming a parent. I mean, you just necessarily have to look at things a little bit differently. I had certain aspirations going into my career when I didn't have kids that I let go of after I had kids, because not because they weren't attainable, they were attainable, but the cost of attaining them was just too high. It would have meant really minimizing my time with my family. And I said in the bulk of our conversation today, the one piece I don't regret at all is the time I put into my family. I would do that all over again. So like shortchanging my kids just to reach a higher position, I just wasn't going to do that.
I think I never looked at success or a successful life as a career for myself. So letting go of that idea helped me redefine success basically as being a good wife, a good mother, being who I can be and give to my family and provide that happiness for them and for myself and my community. That's success to me. So letting go of not wanting to be in that career mindset, it never defined me. What defined me is who I am as a wife and a mother and a community member. I didn't answer as well as you, but that's not really mine.
Answer.
It's just mine.
I as I was listening to you, I was realizing that implicit in my understanding of the word success is a kind of a male interpretation of what that means. So success in a professional field or success of, that's not necessary.
It was never mine.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's upbringing, right? It's got to be from the upbringing. Because I will tell you, none of us four siblings look at career success.
And yet, this dovetails with my answer, right? It is upbringing. But it, oddly enough, I was brought up to be a wife and mother.
That is so great.
I mean, my
yeah, you're right.
My mother really did not. She did not think college was necessary. She thought it was crazy.
And you were so successful in your career.
But it's partly because I felt uncomfortable in that space growing up. I just didn't feel like I connected or understood. I really didn't.
Yeah.
That led me to look outside. And actually, I think I was always a kind of a natural feminist. when someone told me I couldn't do something
right.
because I was a woman and I was expected to do that. No. That was not going to play. And so one of the reasons I play golf now is I asked my father to teach me how to play golf when I was a kid. He said, women don't play golf.
And here you are.
So I was determined to play golf
right.
because you can't tell me that I can't play golf.
That's a whole nother topic is talking about success in general.
Some of the having it all or what I take from that, the attitude I take from it, is that sort of competitiveness that came from being a woman and being sort of implicitly told you can't do these things.
Right.
Like this is like you're not allowed or it's not appropriate. Not that you weren't allowed, but it wasn't appropriate. I definitely got a message that there was something else that I was supposed to be doing that was more appropriate. And I just didn't agree with that. I never agreed with that.
Right. Yeah, success to me was never about career. It's never defined me. I just never, when people said they are successful, I always thought about people who are saying their profession's successful, like whatever they're doing is successful. But that was never my take on success in general. That is a career. I never identified myself as a career. And like I've mentioned so many times, I just wanted to be a person that mattered to others and to myself. Yeah, it's just different.
Mm-hmm.